remember someone once saying to me, "Oh, you're not one of those born-again Christians, are you?" The tone in her voice said it all. I was driving a car at the time, so I couldn't turn to look her in the eye. I just smiled and replied, "Well, actually, that's the only sort of Christian there is." Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and thank you so much for joining me again on Christianity Works. Today we're going to be diving into God's Word to take a look at what happens when those storms of life blow in. It's a really important message, so stick with me. And do stay tuned, because in just a few minutes I'll be telling you about my free daily devotional, Fresh. It's all about helping you draw closer to Jesus to become all that He made you to be. As societies around the world become more and more secular, they're inventing more and more stereotypes to marginalise Christians. You see, and I can tell you this firsthand, if you don't believe in Jesus, the message of Christianity makes you feel incredibly uncomfortable. Why? Because whether you realise it or not, and at the time I didn't realise it, deep down there's something in your makeup that knows that these Christians are right. Man, you Christians used to offend me and annoy me and make me squirm. So I did what any self-respecting atheist would do. I lashed out at you. I persecuted you. It's why today I so relate to the Apostle Paul, who was a Pharisee, did exactly the same. With the same sneer in their voice, people these days use terms like evangelical Christians, conservative Christians, hardliners, fundamentalists, to paint a picture of what Jesus said, what I believe with all my heart, as being wholly undesirable and unreasonable and irrelevant and downright dangerous. Never mind that any half-decent legal system, any half-decent system of justice around the world is modelled on the Word of God. There are some countries where it's not, and those countries are inevitably brutal and unjust. Not the sorts of places you and I would want to live in. Nevertheless, as people in democracies exercise their freedom of speech, many do so to marginalise the very faith and belief system that gave them this freedom in the first place. So, what happens is that many Christians withdraw back into their shells. They stop living out their faith because they feel marginalised. Persecution can do that to you, especially if you love a comfortable lifestyle. Why don't I just blend in with all the rest? Maybe no one will notice that I'm a Christian. Then the storm hits. It blows the boat you're in, and it's pitching, and you think to yourself, how am I ever going to survive this? Do you see how many good reasons there are just to sit there and pretend that you're really not a Jesus follower? Whether it's the subtle marginalisation of an increasingly secular society that stops you from living out and speaking out your faith, or whether it's the excuse of some great and mighty storm that seems to be sweeping through your life, there's an endless array of excuses not to live your life for Jesus. I guess by now, with me talking about a storm, you might have a sense of which passage of Scripture I'm heading towards. So let's take a look already. Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 33. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into a boat and go ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, Jesus came walking toward them on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately, Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come out to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him again, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." There are three things that really hit me between the eyes about this amazing story. Right now, I just want to take a look at the first one of those. You see, when the storm strikes in our lives, we find ourselves wondering what in the blazes is going on here. Have I failed God? Have I made a mistake? Have I somehow stepped outside his will and his favour? Maybe God's given up on me. And with all of those questions swirling around inside of us, the self-pity wells up and we find ourselves with more than ample justification for not stepping out of the boat. But when you read the account of this event again, you have to come to a somewhat confronting realization that putting those disciples in that boat, in harm's way, on that stormy ocean, is something that Jesus did quite deliberately. They just had a powerful time of ministry. Jesus fed 5,000 men, and not to mention the women and children, with 2 fish and 5 loaves. And immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds and went off alone to pray. Putting the disciples in harm's way, putting them on that stormy ocean, putting them in a place where they would perish if God didn't intervene was, wait for this, the sovereign choice of the sovereign God. Of course, a storm is nothing to him, but to a bunch of immature disciples, it was horrendous. They were cowering, their lives were threatened. This series is called Overboard with Jesus. We're going to take a look at the rest of the story after a short break. But right now, I want to focus this situation of the disciples in the boat back onto your life, onto the tiny boat on the big ocean that you're sailing on. When was the last time that a storm hit? When was the last time your little boat was battered by waves far from the land with the wind against you? Do you remember that time? Perhaps you're going through one of those times right now. Perhaps your situation, your circumstances, your relationships seem completely impossible. But I want you to know something. Where you're at right at the moment is no accident. It's no mistake. In fact, it is the sovereign choice of God for you. Now, just process that for a minute. What things does that change for you? I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. The Word of God is alive and active, amen, with the power to transform your life, to help you be all that God made you to be. And that's what the Fresh Daily Devotional is all about. It's completely free, and I'd love to send it to you. Each day, you'll receive a life-changing scripture together with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement from me delivered right to your inbox where you can choose to read, listen, or even watch the daily video. It's completely up to you. Remember, God's Word is the power to change. It's fresh for you each day. You can subscribe to receive your free daily devotional at freshdevotional.org. And as a bonus, we'll also send you a free copy of my ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? My prayer is that your heart will be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through the power of his word. Again, that web address is freshdevotional.org. There is indeed great power in the word of God to transform our lives. So let's head right back in to see what else he has for us today. I mentioned earlier on in this series that I began my walk with Jesus in the middle of a boat on an incredibly stormy ocean. Not literally speaking, you understand, but my first 2 or 3 years with him were the worst few years of my life. I've never been lower. It's never been darker and scarier and lonelier and more painful. And I tell you, I never, ever want to be back in that place. Of course, whether or not we end up in the middle of another storm isn't always up to us. Sometimes it's our fault. God always lets us live through the consequences of our sin. And so sometimes the pain that we're going through is just that. It's the only way we learn our lessons in life, isn't it? Like that old Yiddish proverb, every generation has to learn for itself that the stove is hot. But sometimes a storm blows in that simply isn't our fault. It just happens. And as we saw before the break, those storms aren't just some accident, but the sovereign will of God. It's hard to imagine that God would let that happen to us. But you see, he is so much more interested in our character than our comfort. A verse that I go back to again and again when I'm suffering is James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4. My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of any kind, consider it nothing but joy, because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its full effect, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking in nothing. And we've already seen that God uses storms in that very way. Let's revisit that stormy story in Matthew chapter 14 again, because there are a couple of more things that God has to say to us through what Jesus and the disciples did on that day. So let's go back. Matthew chapter 14, beginning at verse 22. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead on the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. Now, when evening came, he was there alone, but by this time the boat, battered by waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking towards them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost," and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Don't be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Okay, so putting the disciples in harm's way was a deliberate choice that Jesus made. Storm, wind, even the seasoned fishermen among them were getting downright scared. And then just to top it off, Jesus comes walking across the water towards them and they think they're seeing a ghost. It's often the way when Jesus steps supernaturally into the storms in our lives. As much as we don't like the storm, we kind of understand the things we can see and touch and feel, but man, when the hand of God starts moving supernaturally, that's a bit unsettling and scary sometimes. When Jesus first steps into our storm, it can be scary until we hear his voice, until we know that it's him. I remember in my storm, man, when he led me to a church and then he led me to a Bible college. That was completely crazy given who I was and where I was at. It was scary. But then he speaks. He speaks words of assurance and comfort. "Don't be afraid, it's me." People ask me, how do you hear that? How do you hear him speak? Most often, I've heard him speak through the Bible. I know it sounds corny, but it's true. This morning as I read the next psalm that I was due to read, he just spoke so directly into what I was going through. But he speaks through sermons. Sometimes he touches me deeply when I'm watching a movie, through things that happen. When you read your Bible, you'll see he speaks in all sorts of different ways. And that speaking brings courage to your heart. When the Ministry of Christianity Works a few years ago looked like it was going to crash and burn for a lack of funds, man, I spent a lot of time on my knees, and I can tell you, it was Jesus speaking to me that gave me the courage and the resolve to keep going. And then right there, the single most bizarre part of this story unfolds. Peter gets out of the boat. Peter answered him, "Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and started walking on the water and came towards Jesus. Now, just stop and think about that. Not only did the words of Jesus inspire enough courage in Peter's heart to get out of the boat and walk on water, which in itself is just amazing, but he did it while the storm was still raging. And you know something? That's often how Jesus does things. He calls us out of the boat in the middle of the storm. Now, at the peak of the storm, we have the maximum number of excuses available to us to stay back in the boat. Really, we do. Now's not the right time. We're a long way from land. The boat's being battered and overcome by waves. The wind's against us. Now is simply not a good time, Jesus. Let's wait for the storm to stop. But now, the Holy Spirit inspires Peter to say, "Lord, if it really is you, command me to come to you on the water." That right there speaks of a heart ready to follow Jesus. Pitying you. He was better out on the water with Jesus in the middle of the storm than back in the boat with his mates who were paralyzed by fear. This is what it means to go overboard with Jesus, to follow him wherever he may call, to ask him to call us on, to serve him, to trust him, to do the impossible in him. And one day, Jesus is going to call you out of the boat right in the middle of one of your storms. Trust me. If you're listening, if your heart is open, if you yearn for him, he will call you. And when you step out of that boat in his power rather than your own strength, you're not going to be perfect at it any more than Peter was. Peter took his eyes off Jesus and focused on the storm, which is when he started to sink. But Jesus was there. Jesus is always there. Immediately he reached out his hand. Jesus is always there to catch us when we fail, when our faith wanes. Overboard with Jesus means putting it all on the line. Some people rock along to church and give their 10% tithe, like almost like tipping God. And they think to themselves, yep, ticking the box. I'm a good Christian. I go to church. I sing the songs. I give a tithe of my income. Tick, tick, tick. Nothing wrong with any of those things. But one day, right in the middle of a storm, he will call you out of your boat to step out onto the water in the middle of that storm. There's only one thing that keeps you afloat in that place. It's Jesus, your faith in him. And it's not until you've experienced that, it's not until you've seen Jesus calm the storm, that you can truly say from the bottom of your heart, truly you are the Son of God. Storms come into our lives as a sovereign act of God. They completely overwhelm us. And in the middle of them, if we're looking, if we're listening and waiting, Jesus will call us out of the boat onto the water to experience his miracle-working power and faithfulness. The question is, are you ready? Are you looking? Are you waiting? Will you go? I'm Bernie Diamond, and you're listening to Christianity Works. Hey, life can be hard work some days, and as that daily grind just kind of grinds away at us, it's easy to forget that Jesus died and rose again to give us victory over our sin, over our circumstances. Victory. That's why every video message that we produce here at Christianity Works is available on our YouTube channel. The daily fresh devotional videos, the weekly in-depth half-hour Christianity Works teaching messages, and even some in-the-moment, close-to-the-action videos that I shoot every now and then. They're all available on our YouTube channel at christianityworks.tv. Just subscribe to the channel and you'll be notified each time a new video is posted. It's simply amazing how powerfully the Spirit of God can move through even just a short video message. I guess we shouldn't be surprised. After all, the Word of God is alive and active. Amen? So I'd love to encourage you too to live your life in victory. Again, the web address of our YouTube channel is christianityworks.tv. Now let's head straight back into the Word of God, because honestly, he's always up to something good in our lives. I'm not sure whether you've ever thought about this, but in the 3.5 years of Jesus' public ministry back there in the first century AD, Jesus himself faced rather a lot of resistance. The beginning of that ministry was marked by his baptism in the Jordan River, but immediately after that, we're told, the Holy Spirit picked him up and threw him out into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights, while he starved almost to the point of death. When that didn't work, the devil withdrew to wait for a more opportune time. Straight off the back of that, he goes back to his hometown of Nazareth to preach, and they try to throw him off a cliff. The Pharisees and the Sadducees were pretty soon on his case, plotting to kill him, something they eventually succeeded at. But not before people left him in droves, John chapter 6, verse 66, because they didn't like what he was saying. And when it did come to his crucifixion, every last one of his friends and family deserted him. Yeah, following Jesus is going to mean resistance, a lot of it. Jesus himself said, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the road is easy that leads to destruction, and there are many who take it. For the gate is narrow and the road is hard that leads to life, and there are few who find it. I think sometimes we imagine that when we set our lives on a course to follow Jesus, when we step out of that boat in the middle of the storm as Peter did on the Sea of Tiberias, it's going to be easy. God is going to smooth the path out for us and it should all be predictable and safe and easy. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you. That's simply not what Jesus promised ever. John chapter 15, verses 20 and 21. Remember the word I said to you. Servants are not greater than their master. If they persecuted me, they'll persecute you. If they kept my word, they will keep yours also. But they will do all these things to you on account of my name, because they do not know him who sent me. And so you can want to follow Jesus. You can want to honor him with all that you are. But when you're swimming against the tide, you get tired. It's hard. People lose heart. And on top of that, when those storms hit you, you focus on the opposition. You take your eyes off Jesus. And then you get that sinking feeling. Remember that story that we've been looking at so far in this series? The story of the storm, Jesus walking on the water, and then Peter getting out of the boat. Let's just have a look at Matthew chapter 14, verses 28 to 30. Peter answered him, said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Jesus said, come. So Peter gets out of the boat, starts walking on the water, and comes towards Jesus. But when he notices the strong wind, he gets scared. He starts to sink. He cries out, Lord, save me. It's so hard. It's so disheartening to fail Jesus. It really is. I can tell you that firsthand. And if you're someone who wants to live your life for him, you know it too. It's so disheartening, particularly when, like Peter, you can feel yourself sinking and losing and failing. But while you and I will fail, while you and I will be unfaithful, listen to me, Jesus will never, ever fail you. He will never, ever let you down. He will never let you sink. Lord, if it's you, command me to come out on the water. Jesus said, come. So Peter gets out of the boat, starts walking on the water, comes towards Jesus, but he notices the strong wind. He becomes frightened and beginning to sink. He cries out, Lord, save me. What does Jesus do? Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. And that's why you and I need never be afraid to step out of the boat onto the stormy ocean if it's Jesus calling us out to do it. You can't do it in your own strength. Peter knew that. That's why he said, Lord, if it is you, command me to come out onto the water. He wasn't stupid, right? It had to be Jesus calling him before he stepped out of the boat. But when Jesus does call you, he's faithful. He provides all your needs. He gives you all the power you need. That's an absolute given from his standpoint. That's why he says to Peter, you of little faith, why did you doubt? There was absolutely no reason to doubt from Jesus' standpoint. It's me you're talking about here, right? Do you get it, says Jesus? I know. We so often want to play it safe. But here's the thing. You don't get to experience the miracle-working power of God in your safety zone. It's out there on the stormy ocean that we discover who Jesus really is. You don't discover his faithfulness or his power stuck back in your comfort zone. In fact, Jesus himself said, Luke chapter 14, verse 27, whoever doesn't carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. So let's talk about you for a moment. Are you in with all that you are? Are you prepared to lay everything on the line for Jesus? Or are you holding something back? Let's go back to that picture of Peter stepping out of the boat. He was prepared to put his life on the line to live out his faith in Jesus. And as we know, Peter fails a few times along the way. But that doesn't seem to bother Jesus that much in the scheme of things. Too many people die wondering, well, wonder what would have happened if I'd have stepped out of the boat when Jesus called me? What if I'd gone overboard with Jesus? What if? Are you living out a life of what ifs? Missing the opportunities? Missing the calls? Well, I'll tell you, anyone who has heard Jesus call overboard will know what Peter knew in his own experience. Jesus is always faithful. He just is. to see your life powerfully transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus in a rich, dynamic relationship with Him. So if you'd like to go even deeper, then let me encourage you to stop by and explore ChristianityWorks.com, where you'll find a wealth of messages on all sorts of different subjects straight out of God's Word, and conveniently arranged so that you can find exactly what you need for today. There's so much there for you. Your free subscription to our daily fresh devotional, so you can receive a powerful scripture and some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement each day by subscribing to Fresh. And remember, we would love to pray for you. Just click on the powerful prayer icon towards the bottom of the homepage. Everything at ChristianityWorks.com is free, including that e-booklet I mentioned earlier. It's only available for a limited time, so don't miss out. With all my heart, I know that Jesus wants to have a powerful impact on your life to help you be all He made you to be. So go on, head across to ChristianityWorks.com and be blessed. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again same time next week with another message of God's love, God's grace, and God's power for each one of us in Jesus Christ.